Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know
God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hey, thank you for tuning in to another Sunday Night Live. We're so glad that you have tuned in tonight. I'm so excited because we have our old friend, I say old as in longtime friend, Marlon Sparks with us. How are you, Marlon?
Marlon is good. How are you guys?
We are good. It's been a long time since we've had you on here.
It surely has. What's been going on?
Well, I tell you, we just been living the dream around here, you know, just loving people. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, but what I need to ask is what's been going on with you?
Wow. Never a dull moment around here. I can promise you that. We're always living on the edge.
Well, I know that's right. And, you know, I called you our old friend, which meant longtime friend, because you're not a guest anymore. You're just part of it.
That's right. It's old home week right now. Yeah, this is family time.
Yep, this family time, just a bunch of believers coming together talking about the goodness of God.
Absolutely. I know that's right.
And I tell you what, I know God is good. I tell you, and I know that you have experienced some of that here over the last couple of months.
Well, a whole lot of that over the last, since June the 15th of this past summer. We've experienced some amazing, miraculous, wonderful things in triumph coming out of tragedy.
Yeah, I don't know if any of our listeners, because I know this was posted in the news in several different areas, but on that date, what did you say, June 15th?
June 15th, Wednesday afternoon.
On June 15th, Wednesday afternoon, you actually had a car accident with a group of youth. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. It was a good one. Good one in the sense of it was a good bad one. good and bad. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that we're getting to talk to you right now just shows the goodness of God, knowing what the vehicle looked like and how the kids were able to you know, not be injured, just knowing that God is so good. And when the enemy intends to try to take us out, we know we have a God that is sending his angels charge around about us.
Right. You know, that's the truth. And I know all of us are targets. I mean, I get that. But let me tell you something, especially those who are sensing some powerful things for the body of Christ in the days that we're living in right now. I know that when we start preaching things we've been preaching about, you know, victory in the last days and overcoming the power of the enemy and walking in the favor of God and things of that nature, I know it sets you up as a target. And that's not to walk in fear. That's to know that God's got this thing. And, you know, it's like Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have some situations rise up. You're going to have some going to have trouble. But, of course, he prefaced that with, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And, you know, don't be afraid. You know the enemy's devices. Know what he's about. Be alert. You know, he said be sober or alert. Be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we are to resist him and stand against him. So we have seen that in manifestation. We've seen it come full circle from apparent destruction into the full force of the power of God at work in us. And I know even Mark's, you know, Jesus said in the book of Mark that when the word gets sown, Satan comes immediately to take the word out of the heart, a number of ways that he comes. But I'll tell you something, we have proven the steadfast love of God. We've proven that angels are real. We've proven that God, where the enemy comes, you know, to set us up for destruction, that God has a counter, a plan that's already been put into effect to deliver you. So we're so grateful for that, and we've seen it happen.
Amen. You know, I think I'm glad you brought up that scripture about it's not whether or not if we're going to have troubles and trials.
Right.
Because the Bible says that we are. Unfortunately, we are in a world where things happen. We mm-hmm. we have an enemy that is roaring.
Right. And, you know, Jesus even said, think it not strange concerning these things that come to try you. Don't think that's strange. That's just part of the issue of the battle we're dealing with and the conflict that's going on right now between good and evil, light and dark. And we're just, you know, but we've got to be steady and alert as a soldier, knowing that an enemy is out there. And that's why we have to walk in diligence. We walk prepared. We walk ready. We walk in prayer. We walk in faith. We walk with, you know, armored up.
That's right.
Just, you know, to be ready for anything like that. Readiness of mind, the Bible calls it, ready to come against the things that have set themselves up to destroy us and to overcome us. We realize through the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit that we are equipped to overcome that which has been sent to overcome us. And so we're so grateful for God's faithfulness in that and proving it to be true.
Yes. And so we might have some listeners out there, you know, once they got saved, they thought, you know what, I thought that, you know, now that I've followed Jesus, my life's going to be perfect.
Right.
And I shouldn't have any problems. And that's
right.
Not the case.
It is not the case. It is not,
it's not
the case at all. Yeah.
And
but,
it makes
but
me
I promise you'll win. Yeah, I promise you that you'll win. Yeah.
That's right. And like what you were saying, what we need to do is armor up. And what it says in Ephesians, that God mm-hmm. has given us that armor to fight these attacks from the enemy. All we have to do is accept it and pick it up. It's ours to take.
Absolutely. There's a truth. No doubt
and
about
it. Yep, and it doesn't have to come from our own will, but it comes from the power of God in our life.
Absolutely, absolutely. It does. Yeah, I thought about the power of this kingdom that we're in is actually knowledge. You know, Peter said that he has given us everything. God has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
Through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. You know, somebody might say what you don't know won't hurt you, but boy, there's never been a greater lie told where the body of Christ is concerned, especially because the very thing you don't know is the very thing that may take you out. So it's not just important, it is completely vital to your success as a believer, the relationship you have with God, that you know him intimately. And that's what Jesus came to do, to not just to take you to heaven when you die. I've been talking about that in our church. You know, we've associated most everything about your relationship with God with death. And we even say, if you're here this morning, and if you're not sure you'd go to heaven when you die, raise your hand, whatever, stand, come to the front, let's pray for you. And we associate it with that. But that's just such a small part. You know, heaven is a small part of this thing. I know it sounds crazy because it's eternal, but you know what? We're not there yet. And Jesus said, you know, it's not about me taking you to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to you. That's why Jesus came. You know, he said, you know, show us the Father. He said, well, what have you been looking at? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. His plan, his will, his purposes for your life is walking here among you. I'm bringing heaven to you. Even in the Lord's Prayer, he said, you pray. Boy, we just shoot through this so fast and don't ever grasp what we're saying when he said, you pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
That's
right. You pray the will of God that's going on in heaven. You pray that into your life on the earth. So God's purpose in bringing Jesus was to bring heaven to earth to affect us in our daily lives. Even John 3:16, we talk about John 3:16, about the great going to heaven verse. But you know, that's only part of John 3:16. He said, you know, God so loved us that he gave us Jesus, that whosoever believed in him would not perish. So we get that. That's good. But, meaning I'm not through talking, here comes the fun part, but have everlasting life. Now, that everlasting life there is not talking about get to living forever in heaven with Jesus when you die. I got news for everybody listening. We're all eternal. We're all here forever. We're going to, you know, the key, as they say, the old phrase, the key is location, location, location. It's where you will be in eternity with Jesus or not. So we all know he's not just talking about everlasting life there, that you live forever with God when you die. That word everlasting life, it's, we use the word, that Greek word zoe, which, you know, and that word's being used a lot today. Kids are people are naming their kids Zoe. I know a lot of little Zoe kids running around. Oh, but what does that mean? Oh, it means life. Well, it's not just bios, B-I-O-S, life where you breathe and exist. Everlasting life is life in the absolute sense, or life as God has it. I mean, it gets so intense when you talk about that life that Jesus came to bring us that would affect us while we're here. That life affects us while we're here on this earth. I'm telling you, when he said, I come that you might have life, that's not just breathing. That's life. He means that Zoe life, that the abundant life of God, that you would have life and enjoy it to the full till it overflows, John 10:10 in the Amplified says. So that's what we're looking at. That's our goal. That's our purpose.
Yes, and that's a verse I was just thinking about, is the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God says, I have come that you may have life, and like what you were saying, to the full, till it overflows.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's the reason Jesus came was for heaven to touch earth and to affect earth and redeem us from the curse and to set us free from the hand of the enemy that had wreaked havoc over generation upon generation upon generation, and to bring to us and instill within our heart the very life of God that he wanted us to walk in while we're here living on this planet.
That's right. That's right. And when you face those trials and tribulations, do not fear, for I am with you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, he is. There's so many things to put around our life that he is with us, you know, and it just kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit when I even hear people pray something like, oh, Lord, I pray that you'll be with me today. Well, where's he going? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's almost wasted breath.
I never
left.
Right, right, right. God says, I never left you. What are you talking about?
Oh, God, we pray that you go with us today when we go. Well, where's he going? He's already made the decision, I'm not leaving you. When you're coming to me, I'm not leaving. He's with us, and he's on our side. He's for us, you know, and he's not against us. He's not my enemy. He's for me. He's with me. He's in me. God inside-minded people. That's what God's looking for today. That God is not just around me or when I'm doing good, he's with me. When I'm doing bad, he's left me. Not that mentality. He wants us to know that I have moved inside of you and I'm not leaving. I've moved in. You are my house. You know, when you go to church on Sunday morning, you don't go to God's house. You are his house. God has made his home in us. And so we can rest assured that knowing that, how much closer can you get than being on the inside of us? I think I heard somebody preaching the other day. He said, that's why when we pray, we bow our head and close our eyes because we're looking at God. we're talking to the one living on the inside of us. Bowed our head. That's where he's at. He's dwelling in us. And so that's tight. And it's such a comfort, you know, to know that he's not left for a little bit. That somebody said, well, yeah, but, you know, God can't be around people that aren't acting altogether right. Well, then he couldn't be around any of us, you know, because we're not altogether acting 100% perfectly right. You know, and
well, isn't that why he gave us Jesus?
Oh. The reason that he gave us Jesus. Yeah, but God helps those who help themselves. Look up the scripture on that one. That's not there. God helps those who are helpless, who are, you know, are hopeless, who are helpless. You know, the presence of God, the constant dwelling, eternal dwelling presence of God that is for, like I said, not a God helps those who help themselves mentality anymore like we've had, but a God has helped us because we could not help ourselves. God helps the helpless and the hopeless and the friendless and the, you know, and the moneyless and the, you know, and the friendless. That's his specialty. That's where God shows up and shows out most in our lives when we're at our weakest point, when we're at the, you know, the point where we have missed it the most. Look up, because, man, you're going to see God right there in the middle of it, not abandoning us, as men will do, but that's when he steps up and shows off, and that's the goodness and faithfulness of our God. That's why he's so awesome, what we love so much about him.
Yes, that, you know, I think we think we're so powerful enough that we can disqualify ourselves for the grace that he freely gave us.
Right. Yeah, boy, that's a good word right there, disqualification. Man, I lived in that my whole young life and a lot of my adult life with a literal spirit of disqualification on me. But I just felt like every time I messed up, I was disqualified. It's like the enemy would always say, who do you think? I mean, even in the ministry, who do you think you are? You know, you're such a mess up. Who do you think you are to try to preach the gospel or to sing about Jesus or to tell somebody about the Lord? Who do you think you are to tell somebody that you're actually a Christian as messed up as you are? And then one day the Lord just spoke to my heart so much, and going through one of those disqualification mindset periods, and said, excuse me, are you promoting yourself? No, sir, I don't think I am. Well, who are you talking? Who are you to be promoting? I said, well, Lord, you. He said, then this isn't about you. You're not telling people about
That's
you
right.
and how wonderful you are. You're telling people about me and how great I am. And boy, you know what? It fixed that real quick. And from then on, you know, when I said, I've had such a bad weekend. I had some, you know, some anger issues or some fits of despondency or despair or discouragement or whatever, and said, well, who am I going to be to go up there and try to talk to these people about the Lord? He said, remember who you're telling them about. It's not you anyway. And man, you talk about setting you free from something, to even being a witness. You might be witnessing to somebody. Somebody listening today might be witnessing to somebody that knows you. And they're saying to you, who do you think you are to be witnessing to me? I mean, you don't have all your stuff together, and you're going, yeah, no kidding, but I'm not talking to you about me. I'm talking to you about Jesus, who we both need. And that's the key to our witness is making Jesus famous, revealing the love of God in the lives of people. So that'll help all of us. when it comes time to our quote unquote boasting, it's not boasting in us. Paul said, "You can boast, but let your boasting be in the Lord, because this thing is not about you. You got removed from the equation, and it's about the goodness of God, the love of the Father, sending Jesus to us to just get right, completely involved in our mess, and turn our messes into miracles." So that's our God, and that's who we're to be declaring. To be decreeing and declaring to the people is how wonderful Jesus is, that we all have to bow our knee before him and all receive forgiveness and all, you know, humble ourselves in his presence. So that's where we're coming from.
Oh, yeah, that is so good. I love that he turns our messes into miracles. And you know what? I know it. I'm going right to
right?
food.
Aren't we all
right
miracles?
To food, and I'm and I'm thinking M&M's, messes to miracles. You know what? Go get you some M&M's today and know that God is going to take your messes and he's going to turn them into miracles.
Oh, yeah. I tell that to our church people all the time. I say, you know what? There's not any of us should be here right now. You think about your past and think about your life before Christ. There's nobody should be in this building right now worshiping God and singing worship songs to Jesus. None of us should have even, you know, in our own selves walked in the door. But look at the look around the room at the miracles that are sitting in this room right now. We're all coming here on equal ground, all broken, all messed up, all struggling still. That's why the church is not a place of perfect people. The church is a hospital here for the sick.
That's right.
Here for the hurting,
right.
Here for the wounded. And so that's why, you know, from the pulpit should be coming words of healing, not condemnation or shame. From the pulpit should be coming words of hope and help and victory and strength spoken into the lives of fallen people and pointing people to Jesus, who's the only helper and healer of all of our ills and all of our struggles. That's who he is. So that's why it's so fun to come together and all of us leave on equal ground. Nobody leave and say, I'm better than you. Preacher wasn't talking to me today. I mean, he might have been I know a few in this building he was talking to, and I'm going to pray for them this week because preacher really let them have it today. He really pointed out their failures and their sins and their faults but never hit any of mine. Well, no. We're not all leaving that way. We're leaving all looking at each other going, boy, isn't Jesus awesome? It's not that I'm awesome or I'm better than you or I'm superior to you in religious pride. We're all broken people that we're leaving out screaming together, boy, Jesus is wonderful. Guys, isn't Jesus awesome? Look how he loved us all equally and on the same level. That's the greatness of our God. And that's why the church becomes a church where it can do some good and minister to people that need to know what Jesus is all about.
That is so good. And, you know, even before you started talking about how good God is and having the goodness of God, that is the same. That is what came to my mind was, oh, I just love the goodness of God. God is so good. It's like, and I know it's kind of twisted, not really twisted, but it's like, I'm so happy that he's my God. Kind of like when you have your kids, I'm just so happy and proud for my kids, or I'm so happy and proud to have my husband or my spouse or whatever. It's like that. It's like, I serve a good God.
Well, I'll tell you, man, he is so good, and he is a mighty deliverer and a protector and a provider for all of us that are putting our faith there. God, my confidence and my trust is not in me. My trust is in you. And
that's right.
That's where we have to zero in our focus, is the goodness of God and how great Jesus is.
And it's that spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, you know, Father, you are my Father.
Absolutely. Oh, boy, the intimacy of that is so sweet and so pure. Man, God, you are you are Daddy God. You know, the intimacy. You know, that word Abba was the most intimate word in the language of that day. And when he said, you know, you cry Abba, Father, and that word was never transliterated or translated into anything else. He left it in there as Abba, because they understood the intimacy of that Papa. That means run up to me, jump up in my lap, and let's talk about it. Let me love the fear off of you, or let me hug the pains of your life away. You got to see him as that. That's why he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, I mean, that whole scene changed because Jesus, you know, and that's cool. And I know we talk about that a lot from the cross, but the only time Jesus ever called God God was on the cross. Every other time up until that point, he addressed him as Father, and then thereafter, because he called him God, because my God, why have you forsaken me? That the Father had turned his back on his Son because of our sin, because of my sin. And he said, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason he did is through the great exchange, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we may say, my Father, thank you for accepting me. So that's part of our great exchange that we have with him, that we're declaring he is Father today. And I know we say God, and I get that, but boy, yeah, it's I don't do that much. I'm a Father guy. I call him my Father, and I want to see that image all the time in me, all the time in my consciousness. I want to see Daddy God. I want to see Father God. And, well, that's because it's the relationship that he came to provide for us.
That's right.
It cost Jesus his life to provide that for us, and we don't take it lightly.
That's exactly what I was thinking. If that's the difference between being God and being Father.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes Father God, it becomes a relationship. Like in any relationship, you're accessing your emotions,
exactly,
and your feelings, and it's becoming a relationship rather than it's a God. Okay, God, you know, I have to obey everything
right.
you say, and if I don't, then you're going to strike me down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, man, that's so true. Boy, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like I said, as we began this, well, we have seen the mighty hand of God in operation over us, and the miracle that God performed for us and sparing my life and the life of the kids in that church van on June 15th was just, wow, it's just a whole story in itself, a whole book could probably be written from the things that happened that day that turned that thing from tragedy to triumph. And whew, it was just an amazing thing. So many things set up that, you know, God had to be involved in it, that God pre-saw that coming and set things up in advance to lead us into that victory. It was just so supernatural and so amazing. That I even had a highway patrolman from Lawton, Oklahoma. This accident happened over between Canton, Oklahoma, and Sealing on Highway 51, about 4 miles west of Sealing, west of Canton, Oklahoma, coming in from a sports camp, a Christian sports camp in Stillwater that we'd been at Oklahoma State University, and taking a lot of athletes and kids from our church. There were five of them in the van and me. So we were coming home, and anyway, this highway patrolman called me from Lawton, and he said, "You don't know me, Mr. Sparks, but I got your number from the people there in Sealing and Canton that were there working your accident." And I was there from Lawton, you know, just had some business up there, some business up in that area, and in my patrol car. And he said, "I heard the call come in, so I went to the scene. And just to assist or whatever I could do." And he said, "I pulled up on that wreck site and my heart just shattered." He said, "Oh," and he said, "I'm a Christian man." He said, "I'm really involved in my church. I love the Lord." And they told me later that you were a pastor and a minister. And he said, "I want to tell you something. I've been in this business many, 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 many years. And he said, I have never seen an accident of that magnitude where basically anybody ever came out alive. I had worked a 15-passenger wreck about 2 months earlier. There were 9 people in the van, and 5 of them died. And he said, kids. And he said, there was not. Your van was 3 times more demolished than that van that they took 5 dead people out of.
Wow.
And he said, when I pulled up, and they said, basically, of course, you were the only one still trapped in the vehicle. Everybody else was out walking around. They were panicking and, you know, some crying and all, but everybody was okay. I just said, there's just no way. There's no way that people came out of that van okay. And they said, well, yeah, they're out here running around. We're taking care of them and all. And then I, you know, knew that you were you were having some issues there in the van. So, of course, we checked on you. And then he said, I had to call you and tell you that what a miracle that is. And if people that don't believe it, he said, in my profession, we know that the hand of God, the angels of God, the hand of God was upon you all. And brought you out of a horrible situation that should have been so much worse and just catastrophic. And all you lost basically was the van. So, wow, which can be replaced. So it's a testimony to the miraculous power of God. Pretty wild.
And so did you have anybody else call you and say anything about the accident or anybody else?
Well,
comment.
It's kind of crazy the way that I'm just giving a little bit of background about kind of how it came about. And like I said, we were coming home from the sports camp in the church van. There are no church markings on the van. Our name's not on there. They don't have anything. It's just a big white 15-passenger van. And so we were coming home, and I was talking to my son on the telephone that lives in Austin. His name is Cody, and I said to him, I said, Cody, you know, 15-passenger van, so there was a captain seat in the driver and a captain seat over there on the passenger side and a big, you know, big hole there in the middle.
Yeah.
And between us, this young man tells a story. His name is Dane Staggs, and he's the hero of this whole story, how he was used so mightily in this whole deal. He was asleep, but he didn't have a seatbelt on. So I was talking to my son, and I said, man, Cody, Dane's over there, unrestrained. He said, I want to reach over and just box him. You know, I just messing with him. And I said, he's over there, doesn't have a seatbelt on. When I get off of here in a minute, I'm going to reach over and wake him up. If you get that belt on, what's the matter with you? You know better than that, you know, and just talking. Well, we hung up, and about 3 or 4 minutes later is when the accident occurred. And I had, for some reason, begin to cough, I began to cough harder and harder and harder. And I thinking in my mind, man, I mean, I remember thinking this, I've never coughed this hard in my life. I can't catch my breath. Well, when I was coughing so hard, it woke this kid up. It woke Dane up. And he said, I leaned up on my seat and looked at you and said, Pastor, are you okay? And he said, about that time, your eyes rolled back in your head, and you just fainted dead away and just keeled over, going about 70 miles an hour down that road.
Oh,
and
he said,
so we headed for the ditch. And he said, now, crazy, because when it happened, your foot, you just really kind of became totally rigid as you passed out, and your foot just went, you were on cruise control, but your foot, for some reason, went to the foot feet, and we started speeding up. And he said, I was able, now, remember, he's unrestrained. Thank God. Now, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You people put your seatbelts on, okay? You don't take this as a sign that you don't have to wear your belt and it's safer, because it's not.
That's right.
My public service announcement. Get your seatbelt on.
Mask a miracle.
Right? He didn't have his on, which meant he was able, if he would have, it would have been a different story. He was able to jump up out of his seat, jump over there, and he says, first thing I did is I kicked your leg off, and your foot went off the foot feet. But by then, we had gone into the ditch, into a huge, about 10 to 15 feet deep culvert, a big, huge concrete culvert, you know, where the water runs through it all. And he said, we hit that deep ravine, that culvert, and we came out on the other side airborne. And we were flying through the air, and he said, I was able to reach over and grab the wheel. And you were, you know, I was leaning over you having to grab the wheel. And he said, Pastor, we were headed at a tree. It was huge, right along the fence line. And it was on the passenger side. And he said, it was on the driver's side. And I was able to steer the van away from the passenger side, but we hit, we missed that big tree, hit another tree just past that big one. But he said, no telling, I don't know how fast we hit it, probably 50, 60 miles an hour. But he said, we hit the tree flush and kind of slid up the tree at an angle and then came over and just slammed over on the driver's side. And he said, all the windows were shattering and everything. But he said, but let me tell you, the passenger seat, the damage at the front of that van was completely past, the front of the van was past the seat where he was sitting, completely crushed in that area. There was it had taken that seat completely out. Had he been sitting in that seat, I'm telling you, he'd be in heaven singing today, because it was horrible. And so, anyway, he said, so after we landed, I started trying to, the girls, of course, they were all asleep. You know, they weren't restrained either, though. They were all asleep, laying on the, you know, all those bench seats in the van with their pillows and blankets from camp. They're all exhausted, stayed up probably half the night anyway. They're all tired. And so the girls, he was the only guy in the van. So it's crazy to me, because I started coming out of this thing, and I had passed out, is what happened. I never passed out in my entire life, and I'm like, what in the world going on? So I start waking up out of this thing, and I was out for over 10 minutes.
Oh,
and
God.
I start coming to, hey, Natalie, I think I'm in my bedroom at home. I'm stretching. I'm going, oh, man. Oh, boy. And I'm just stretching like I'm getting up. And all of a sudden, reality just starts setting in, and I'm going, wait a minute. What in the world? And I'm still in my seatbelt, and I'm upside down, laying on my side, and then the pain starts hitting from all the injuries, and I'm just going, oh man, and I'm screaming at everybody, what happened? What is going on, guys? What's happening? And I could hear all the girls screaming. Which, that you say, well, that's horrible. No, that's the best noise, best crying I ever heard in my life. To know that they were screaming, even if it was great injury or whatever, I knew they were alive. And it was crazy, because I was screaming, don't any of you guys be dead. Don't y'all be dead. In the name of Jesus right now, none of y'all be dead. And I'm just having a fit. And then I think of Dane. I'm thinking in my mind, now he's unrestrained. We hit a tree, no doubt, or something. He shot through, he lost through the front windshield. He's laying out in that field somewhere. And I'm just start screaming his name. Dane. Oh, no, Dane. Dane, you didn't have a seatbelt on. Where are you at? And I'm hollering, and one of the girls, she's one of the older girls, she's 17, she was up there now behind me trying to help me, and I looked up kind of at her, and she had some glass cuts on her, not bad, but I could see she had bleeding a little bit. And I said, where is everybody? Where are all the girls? And she said, Pastor, I think they're all okay. They're all outside. They got out of the van. And I don't know how they did it, but Dane had gone to the back of the van and had to, just with everything he had, four or five times, he kicked the door, and it finally opened up, and he was able to, and he said, I just jumped out, I just start taking off running. I said, where were you going? He said, don't know. He said, I just kind of panicked, and I just running. And he said, but by then, a couple of guys in pickups had seen the scene, and they had stopped their trucks and were running over there. And they said, son, settle down. We've seen it. We know what's going on. Are there other people in the van? He said, there's a lot of people in the van. He said, you work with us. We got to try to get them out of there. And so that door was open. So all the girls, they started getting them out one at a time, getting them out of the van. So anyway, but this girl didn't know it. And she said, Pastor, I can't find Dane. We can't find him anywhere. So I was hollering, well, go look for him. I got to know he's okay. And finally, I heard his voice. He's He's so funny. And he's just kind of a big old football playing lumber wagon guy. And he just says, I heard his voice outside the van scream, "Hey, hey, hey, I'm right here, Pastor." I said, "Oh, geez. Oh, come on. Wow."
Oh.
And here's where the story gets good, because I've been out for some time. And how I'm saying that all these things are so strategically set up by the Lord to perform the miracle that he did, because he's unrestrained. We had missed that concrete culvert by less than a foot. My tire tracks are less than 1 foot away from that huge culvert that we would have slammed into that thing, flipped that van, no telling how many times it would have rolled. Probably everybody ejected through the windshield because nobody was restrained. So we missed that by less than a foot, and then go through that ravine and went airborne. But as I'm laying there, and now I see that everybody's okay, and I'm thinking, God, now I'll tell you, I'm hurt. Well, I mean, I am in pain. It is horrible. And I'm praying, and I'm calling out to God. And about that time, Natalie, I hear this voice, a woman's voice. She says, "Sir, can you just try to settle down? Take a deep breath." Said, just can you reach your hand outside the van?" And I said, "Ma'am, I can't. I'm trapped in here. I'm there's no way. I'm pinned in here really bad, and nothing's pinned where it's broken or anything. I don't feel trapped and pinned that way." But she said, "Well," I said, "besides, you can't pull me out of here anyway. There's no way to get me out of here." She says, "I'm not trying to get you out of the van. I'm trying to find a way to get in there to pray for you."
And oh,
I went, "Ma'am, wow. Say what?" She said, I've got to pray for you." And I went, "Yes, ma'am. So just you try to reach your hand in here, and I'll see it and grab it." And so she reaches up under a, kind of through the broken windshield or whatever, and I could see her hand, and I grabbed it. And I'm thinking, you know, and I'm thinking my religious mind, stupid religious mindset sometimes, I'm thinking, boy, this will be great. She's going to pray, you know, some way, somehow, some week. Now I lay me down to sleep. God is good. God is great. Prayer. Not going to amount to anything. Not going to mean anything. Probably won't be scriptural. They will be full of doubt and unbelief. That's honestly what's going through my mind. Let me tell you something. When she grabbed my hand and she started praying, now, because she don't know me from anybody. She don't know we're a church group. She don't know I'm a pastor. She don't know anything about me. But the first words out of her mouth were, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now that this man of God will live. He will not die. He will continue to declare the works of the Lord." That's what came out of her mouth. And I'm going,
oh.
And boy, she had my attention. Oh, God. She said, "Satan, I bind you right now. You get your hands off of this man of God. You will not take him out. He is needed in the kingdom of God. He will not be taken out by you." And she said, then she'd get quiet. And she said, "Did you notice?" I've talked to her since then. She said, "Did you notice every now and then I get kind of quiet?" I said, "I didn't notice any of that at all." She said, "Well, I didn't know who you were or what you believed," but she said, "I'm a spirit-filled believer." And she said, "I would turn away from you and pray in the Spirit. I'd pray in the Holy Ghost because I didn't know what to pray anymore. And I just would pray in tongues. I'd pray in the Spirit, and I'd just pray over you and just as I held on to you." And she said, "Then I'd come back in English, and I'd pray for you again and pray over you." And she said, "But man, I have never felt the Spirit of God on me like I was at that moment and felt it." I said, you can't even imagine the peace that filled that van with me, because I wasn't sure what was wrong with me, because I couldn't really breathe very well. My head was split open from the top of my head was about a 6-inch gash. It was bleeding really bad. I had a lot of stitches. I had broken some teeth on my bottom left. I had broken my face. My cheekbone was broken from my inside of my nose on my right side all the way almost over to my ear, and it was hurting. I bit my tongue nearly halfway in two, and a piece of my tongue the size of like a quarter had bitten out of my tongue. So, I mean, you talk about a bloody mess, and I'm spitting teeth. I got blood flying everywhere. I got blood flowing out of me all over the place, big puddles and pools out of my head and out of my mouth. And my teeth and everything are going all over. I'd broken three ribs on my left side and two ribs on my right. And so I'm in just pretty tough shape. And but I'll tell you right now, and I honestly didn't know. I said, Father, I thank you. That I'm agreeing with her. As she's praying, I'm going, hey, yeah, amen. Yeah, come on, amen. That's right. That's right. Then I'd holler in pain. Oh, I'd holler out in pain. I'd go, yeah, come on, keep praying. It's going to be okay. In the name of Jesus, I'm with you. Come on, pray. So anyway, so then the lady said, well, the EMT people are here, you know, and I need to get them up here. So I got to go. So you're going to be all right, okay? And I said, I sure am. Thank you. You're an angel from God. I tell you right now. Anyway, they got me out, air vac'd me to, called in a helicopter and took the kids by ambulance into Seedling, Oklahoma, took me back to the high school parking lot in Canton, Oklahoma. The helicopter came in and flew me to Oklahoma City. And anyway, all that was, started working on me to fix me up there. But what had really happened is that I had developed a carotid, in my carotid artery on my right side. You have two of those, one left, one on the right. I know all about it now. And one of them had become over 90% blocked. Of course, that's where you get your oxygen to your brain through your carotid arteries up to your brain. And I had blocked that off. And when I coughed, the clogging part of that had caused me to pass out. And anyway, so, you know, all of that, long story short, they kept me there for 2 or 3 days. And then I had to go back in for surgery to get that artery unplugged, and they did that, and you know, the rest is the only thing I have now. I'm numb on the right, from the top of my cheek down to my jawbone and my chin. I'm numb on the right side of my face, and when I brush my teeth, I can't feel my toothbrush in my mouth. It's all numb in there, and they're doing some, you know, I'm believing that to return in the name of Jesus. Get a miracle on that. He brought everything this far, and might as well continue. But they're talking about doing some work in there to get that. Those nerves are just really crushed and pressed right now. And if I touch my cheek up by my nose, I'll pretty much jump over a building. It's pretty sensitive. But all in all, the thing is just so supernatural. The whole thing of, you know, my mom's 94. And she is and she said, I'm going to live to be 100 because you and the grandkids need me, the great grandkids. I have a purpose here. My purpose is to pray for you guys. She said, intercession is vital in the day we live in right now with all the evil that's in the world. And I'm going to live to see 100 because I got to pray all my kids and grandkids through all the issues of their lives. And I promise you, every day, if I talk to her, and I've talked to her about every day, and I'll be going somewhere, she'll say, well, you going where? I'll go, well, I'm going to go do this and then in Liberal, Kansas, or Guymon, Oklahoma, or somewhere. She said, well, I have already prayed you safe there and back. She'll say that every single time we talk. And so you know, mamas, believe me, prayer means something. You know, even if it's just, Father, I thank you, your angels are watching over my kids today. That's got enough in that thing right there to, you know what? To carry some, you know, and that's all I'm thinking about the whole time. Well, she already prayed me there, you know, safe there and back. So it's all going to be okay, you know. So I thought, so many, God, you get these lessons that come to you and all the things you take for granted and say, yeah, I'm going to pray for me. That safe there and back. Okay, that's cute. That's good. That's right. Well, it you don't take that for granted anymore. You say, I'm fixing to go somewhere. Hey, pray for me there, safe there and back.
Yeah, oh, heck yeah, that's
all. Yeah, my sister goes over there a lot, and she'll have breakfast with her and take care of some needs or whatever. But my mom lives, she's 94, lives alone, drives everywhere. Her first call of the week is, any errands I need to run for you this week? At 94. So anyway, I'm blessed like crazy with that. But she says, Marlon, you go over there to eat breakfast with her, and she's cooked something for breakfast. Make sure she don't pray over breakfast after it gets on the table, because it'll be ice cold one time she's done. Because she's called every grandkid's name. She's called every great grandkid's name and all of her kids' names. She's prayed over every one of them individually, and it takes a long time to get that done. So don't expect a warm meal. You go there and eat and eat with her because she's praying over everything. And then she may just get off in the Holy Spirit. And she just, I tell you, it's just a pretty amazing thing. That so let me just tell you, mamas and grandmas, you're needed. You're here for a
reason.
That's right. And that's just not to say, just to say you have grandkids and it's a wonderful thing. You're here for a purpose, to intercede over them, to pray over them, to be, a go-between them and the Father, an intercessor. And I'll tell you that now, the angels of God are at work in their behalf. And, you know, the Psalm 91, I just read it over and over now and just see the angels of God. You know, I give his angels charge over me. You know, they'll protect me in all of my ways. And
Though a thousand may fall at my feet, and though a thousand may fall at my side, it will not come near me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there's an us, and there's a them. And there just is, and there is a distinction made. Things that come upon them aren't going to come upon you. You know, we see that in the Book of Genesis and through the Exodus of the people of God. Things happen. You know, there was. The plagues that came on Egypt didn't come on the people of God in Egypt. Came on just the Egyptians in Egypt. One of the plagues was darkness, it says, but there was light in the house of the people of God. So there's an us and them. There are the people of God that, you know, there's the knots and the have nots, or the haves, right?
That's right.
The haves and the have nots. There's those that have the Spirit of God, there's those that don't. And simple saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to be a part of my life. I want to receive your protection. I want to receive your provision. I believe you, God, for your anointing and for your power in my life, that I will be a blessing to all those that I meet, and, you know, for the rest of my life, and find your purpose, because it's what's needed. People are waking up to the power of God in this dark day we're living in right now, and it's awesome to be a part of this kingdom, big time.
That is right. That is right. And, you know, I'm thinking about these people that are listening that, you know, may not have those people that are, to pray for them, but that's okay. Your prayers, your prayers are enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Maybe they've experienced maybe some hardship in their life, an accident, or maybe somebody's going through a divorce. That's what comes to mind, is somebody might be going through a divorce, and they thought they were always going to be married, and they're so devastated by what has happened in their marriage, and there's just troubles and tribulations that these people are going through. And Marlon, would you pray for these people that are going through something right now, that they may experience the goodness of God?
Perfectly. Man, this is a perfect time right now. I just sense a real, real anointing. When you say the word anointing, it means that there is the power to remove a burden and destroy a yoke. That's what the word anointing means in the Bible. That the anointing, that the power to remove your burden or destroy your yoke, comes upon you in an anointing that does that. So, Father, we do that right now. I pray for the people listening to this radio broadcast right now, and this is not an accident that we're talking about this subject matter right now, because there's some devastated people, some hurting people listening in right now, some hopeless people that feel like they're hopeless, some people that feel like they're not going to make it, and they don't even want to make it. They want to just cave in and give up and give in. This is not that time. Father, I thank you that let them know that somebody's praying for them right now in the name of Jesus, that there's people lifting them up right now that are standing with them and holding on to them in the spirit right now, that won't let them go, that if no one else is praying for them, they can pray for themselves right now and just decree over their own lives the favor of God, the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you that what the enemy has meant for destruction in their lives, they'll see the turnaround. Their mess becomes a miracle right now that we've been talking about throughout this broadcast. I thank you, Father God, that they will see the salvation of the Lord. They will see the delivering hand of God upon their lives today in the name of Jesus. Their kids will come to the Lord. And Father God, I thank you today that healing will come to their bodies and to their minds and to their finances today as they're on purpose trusting God, not just waiting for some accidental thing to float out of heaven, but on purpose. They're pressing in and they're pushing and believing and trusting in the mighty power of God to deliver them from all of their destructions. And we're just thanking you, Father, for victory in their life today, and declare it over them and walk in agreement with them in the mighty name of Jesus to see your power at work in them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God. You know, and you ended that with the power of God at work in them. And it just makes you think about my theme song. You know, God is on the move.
Right.
He is alive and active.
That is, boy, that's so true. It's just a shame people can't see that. You got to see people that God is at work. God is moving. You see all the negative, all the government, all the issues of life. But no, God is greater than anything you're facing right now. You've got to walk in that and believe that.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I thank you so much for coming on here and sharing that testimony. That is just a really powerful. And I know there's so many other things that you didn't have time to share that God did in that.
Yeah, so many.
Yes. And
many.
So, and I wasn't quite for sure, you know, how much you wanted to go into it, but I'm so glad that you shared that because, you know, God is good and he has good in store for us. And what a good testimony of God's goodness.
Yep. And you're going to provide us a new van. In Jesus' name.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked if it don't come like this week. I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to happen.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's so good to talk to you again and have you on here. It's just always such a powerful message that you have to bring, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate your ministry that you have there in Perryton. Now tell us the church again that you are pastoring.
Victory Family Church, 24th and Main Street here in Perryton, Texas. Perryton, America, just right here on the main intersection is to drive. You're coming in from Wheeler, the first on Highway 83, the first intersection you come to, the traffic signal. That's us right there on the left. And we're just having church. And then
that's
enjoying
every
bit of it.
That's right. And so if you are in that area and you are looking for a church home, go and listen to Pastor Marlon Sparks and be under his leadership. You'll be blessed by that for sure. But we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We want to remind you that we do have our website, which is sundaynightlive.org, with shows that are archived on there. You can go back and listen to those. And we've been putting, which I'm so thankful for Jim, he's been putting some of Mark's messages or past shows on there.
Good.
And, you know, I mean, he's just, we love Mark. We want to keep Mark alive. You know, we want to keep his.
Absolutely.
Yes, keep that going.
I like that verse. It says, he being dead, yet speaking.
That's right.
I believe
that's exactly
right.
And so go on there and listen to him. And we've got new ways to listen now. We are starting a podcast. And so we have Sunday Night Live podcast. We're trying to get on some different servers. And so be looking for that. If you can't make it on the radio show, you can catch it later after it's aired and listen to what we had going on. But we want to remind you that God is on the move and to remember he can turn your mess into miracles. And so I'm just going to tell you, go buy you some M&Ms. And when you see that M&M on there, you just remember as you take a bite of that M&M that God is good and he can turn that mess into a miracle. And you guys have a good night, and we will talk to you next week.